Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, you know it's my favorite sportsbook, but it's also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love it, and I know you will too, so listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook, it's putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right, pick any basketball team still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Can't beat this deal. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure to use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I am Jim Galante. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We are so fortunate to have with us Mike Agovino, executive producer of the podcast with the benefit of hindsight. Mike, we were talking about, we got some of the details of how this all happened at Penn State initially with Mike McQuarrie, what he witnessed in the shower with Jerry Sandusky. And we're talking about the quote-unquote cover-up at Penn State. And the Board of Trustees played a major role in this. Now, earlier you talked in terms of the board quickly making that decision to get rid of Paterno, to get rid of Graham Spanier. But what you talk about, what's part of the podcast and the summary you sent me, there were members of the board who you say they had an agenda versus both Paterno and Spanier. Can you expound on that for us?
Yeah, so first, it's an unusual thing when you think about a governor of a state and a large public university in the state. So Tom Corbett, as the governor, had a role in the Penn State Board of Trustees. He also happened to have been the attorney general who brought the original charges against Sandusky. He also happened to run for governor against a Democratic opponent who was supported by Graham Spanier. He was significantly offended by Spanier's support of that candidate. And shortly after he was elected, he got into a major battle over funding for public universities with Spanier. That was $100+ million worth of funding, which was a battle that ultimately Spanier won, and Spanier came out very strong publicly in statements he made against the governor. And so there was no doubt that that the governor did not care for Graham Spanier. There's also no doubt that the governor had a vested interest in this case, as it was a case he originally brought as attorney general. He took advantage of his place within the Board of Trustees to influence the decision-making during that week. And he and vice chairman of the board at the time, John Surma, were the two individuals who really pushed this board to terminate both Spanier and Paterno. It turned out that Surma had been trying to get Paterno fired for years. He had led a group of alums and board members in trying to get Paterno fired during those lean years of the early 2000s. Surma had a nephew who had played on the team, and for some reason that didn't work out, Surma, his brother, blamed it on Paterno. That young man would unfortunately die from a drug overdose, and so the family blamed what happened there largely on Paterno. So between Surma's grudge against Paterno and Corbett's grudge against Spanier, those two really took the lead. And it's not that the lawyers that were involved weren't pushing for the same thing. I mean, they had a tailwind in going for this. If you're a board, you're the ultimate fiduciary. The university is under attack. These are major accusations that are being made. You've got a nationally televised football game scheduled for Saturday, and so they took advantage of a situation and pushed the board to that point. But I think the really big thing there, and it should be a really big thing on appeal, is the massive conflict of interest that Tom Corbett had. He should have recused himself from what was going on at the board at that time. As the former attorney general who brought the case, as the presiding governor while all this is happening, for him to take an active role, which he denied and then later admitted to. He actually said to the board that night, "Remember the 10-year-old boy," or "Let's not forget the 10-year-old boy," something like that. So he pushed very hard for this from a position that was heavily conflicted. And once the board made that determination, once those two were fired, it was, any presumption of innocence was gone. Penn State had just pled guilty, in effect, to a cover-up, which, the crime hadn't been proven yet, but the cover-up was proven as far as the public was concerned. And if the cover-up's proven, well, then the crime is proven. And so by making the determinations that they made, they declared the entire story true, and they declared all of these people guilty.
You named two members of the board in Surma and Corbett. If I recall correctly, it's a rather large board. There's a lot of people on the board, pillars of the community, major industry movers and shakers. Those two guys you could understand, or it sounds like there's a reason for their actions. But you had a lot of other people on this board, Mike. Were they aware as they were acting that they were essentially saying, this university, and I'm on the board of trustees of this university, by me taking this action, I'm essentially pleading guilty for the university of a cover-up?
Well, I don't know that it was ever discussed in those terms, but I think that, and in this week's episode, episode 10 of the podcast, we interviewed two former board members, Al Lord and Bob Capretto, who give their impressions of what went on then and what went on afterward. But everyone felt pressured, even the pro-Paterno board members, if you will, felt incredibly pressured and a responsibility and a vulnerability given the game Saturday night that no one fought them. There was no formal vote taken. This was done via conference call, and it wasn't clear to anyone as the call ended what exactly the repercussions were going to be of what they had just talked about and when those would take place. It was as if there were a coup within the board, because I forget the gentleman's name who was the chairman at the time, but the vice chairman is the one, Surma, who got on the phone with Paterno that night. And it was he and Corbett who led the call with all of the board members, not the chairman. So inside of the board, and we've had board members tell us that that is what happened, that there was a real-time coup, that those two took charge, that people were more or less afraid to challenge them because they didn't know what the right thing to do was either. The lawyers were advising that this was the right thing to do. And so I'm not saying that that this was absolutely forced by those two gentlemen, but that they took the lead and they were the aggressors in going down this road. And in the case of Corbett, for sure, that was a conflicted role, and he shouldn't have been in there doing that.
And just a quick update, Mike is the executive producer of With the Benefit of Hindsight. And quickly, Mike, could you just tell folks where they can subscribe to it, where they could find the podcast With the Benefit of Hindsight?
If you just do a Google search and search With the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, and you'll get a bunch of different results on places you can go to listen. If you want to listen on Spotify, if you want to listen on Amazon Music, if you want to listen through your favorite podcatcher or app or Apple, you can listen pretty much anywhere.
All right, very good. Now, you now have the board, and remembering back a decade ago, just as an outsider Penn State football fan, just remembering this overwhelming media onslaught, it's kind of understandable. If you're on that board, it's a difficult decision. You don't know where to turn, what to do, and if you're being advised to follow this path, you probably follow it. But could you talk to Mike the idea that they've now set the path for the board, that we've now let go these administrators, the president of the university, the longtime football coach. This now set them on a path that they now have to keep following this because they made that decision. They've got to go along with this, don't they? Hey, we let these guys go because they were accused of covering up. So at this point now, does it now behoove me to have a cover-up and make sure it stays a cover-up?
Exactly. So a lot of people have challenged Ziegler over the years, saying the story has to be true. Why would the board of trustees fire an icon, a legendary coach, the winningest coach in history, unless they knew for sure that this was true? Well, we know that they didn't know for sure that it was true. We know that they were greatly concerned. And we know that two gentlemen in particular forced their will and pushed the board to make those moves. But what we see soon after, and think about this, Sandusky is indicted on November 4th of 2011. On November 21st of 2011, the Board of Trustees hires Lewis Free to investigate the story.
That is an absolutely fantastic segue, Mike. Quarter number four, when we get back, we're going to talk about that Free report. Stay tuned. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside. Pick any basketball team still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 SmithWorks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.